Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Over the last number of weeks, we have been working our way through the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. In this chapter, Jesus is teaching about himself and who he is. He says that he is the bread that has come down from heaven. He says that we must follow his ways if we want to inherit eternal life. He says that we must abide in him and he in us. He teaches that he and the Father are one and that he is the only way to the Father. And lastly, he says that we get his grace and mercy from eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We take in Jesus, who is the way and the wisdom for life, through the bread and the wine in the Eucharist. And then we come to this very last part of the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. And the disciples are having a heated discussion because some believe that all this teaching is very hard for people to accept and that the people will simply not accept it. And Jesus responds to them, "Does this offend you?" And we are told in the text that this did indeed offend some of the disciples, and they left Jesus because it was simply too hard to follow him anymore. Does this offend you? This is a very tough question for us to ask ourselves as Christians today, because we find many people in the church who pick and choose what they want to believe and profess about the Christian faith. There are many people who decide for themselves that they want to follow this teaching of Jesus or that teaching of Jesus, but not that teaching over there. Christianity in the West has become somewhat of a smorgasbord of beliefs and attitudes, where every individual gets to put their own plate of belief together. And why is this the case? Because people are offended by things. They find things and teachings in the scriptures and the church offensive. So instead of really trying to pray and think critically about these things, we let certain teachings and beliefs fall away, and we pick up others. And I think that this question of Jesus, "Does this offend you?" is a very tough but important question for all Christian people to ask themselves. There is not necessarily a right or wrong answer to this question, but it is an important question to ask nonetheless. Our Lord asks us, "Does this my teaching, my very being, myself, offend you?" The world that we live in is certainly offended by the teaching of the church and Jesus sometimes, and indeed in many cases it should be, if the church is really doing its job. What most people don't realize when we read the biblical text is that Jesus, in a way, was a highly offensive person to the culture in which he found himself living. He healed and taught on the Sabbath. This would be like the only person having a store open on a Sunday in the early 1900s. This individual would have been so offensive to the Christian culture of the time. Jesus talked to women and people of other faiths in public. This would have been complete scandal in the society in which he was living. Jesus and his teaching was highly offensive to the group of people around him. So the church needs to ask itself, are we good friends with the world, or do we offend it sometimes? Because sometimes by our words and actions, we should be offending the world. Let me give you an example. A few years ago in London, Ontario, where I am from, there was a giant uproar from the city against the Salvation Army and its Christmas kettle program that they run. You know the kettles, they dress up like Santa, they stand at the Walmart entrance, and people put their change and money in before leaving the store. Now, the Salvation Army is a Christian organization that seeks to help and care for the most poor and vulnerable in society, and I think that most people who give money to them realize this. So in London, they were using a lot of this money a few years back that they were raising on their Christmas campaign to put together Christmas baskets for those who had nothing on Christmas. It sounds great so far, doesn't it? Most religious and non-religious people alike would think that this is a great idea. But then it came out in the news that most of these gift baskets were going to the local prison and that they were for prisoners who had nothing on Christmas. And guess what? People, society, secular people who had given money found this highly offensive, because they didn't want their money to go to prisoners who should not get anything on Christmas. They should not be loved. they should not be cared for. In their mind, they should simply rot in jail. People found this highly offensive, that these Christians would care for people. People were on the news, they wrote letters to the paper and to the editor. It became a big deal. The Salvation Army went ahead and did the right thing. They gave those baskets to the people in the local prison. They went right ahead and defended society. The Salvation Army in London has never fully recovered from this, and in subsequent years has raised less and less money in their kettle campaigns. But that's okay, because it's really not about the money. They did the right thing. They, as Christians, went right ahead and defended people and followed the teaching of the gospel, caring for the prisoner. They offended society, and you know what? I say good for them. Good for them for having the courage to do it. And if it did offend some people, and it causes them not to follow Christ, the gospel tells us that that is simply okay. The Christian message, Christian action in the world, and Christian belief can be highly offensive to the world. So the question we must ask ourselves is, how, as followers of Christ, are we to respond to these kind of situations when they take place? Because although we mean well, these situations can be tough, they can be complicated, and have lots of moving parts. The answer is simple, really. Like everything else as a Christian, we must respond in love and charity. So what does this look like? Paul gives us some clues in his letter to the Ephesians that we read about today. This is a very famous part of his letter when he talks about putting on the armor of God. First, Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggles are not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in heavenly places." See, we must respond in love and charity to these people who are offended by the church. Because what Paul is saying is that our struggle is not with people who get offended, but our struggle is with the whole system. The system that we live in the Western world teaches us that we are to look out for ourselves and not others. It teaches us to value money and possessions rather than people. It teaches us to want revenge rather than mercy and forgiveness. This is why when something happens, like the church caring for prisoners, people get offended. This is when Paul tells us to put on the armor of God, because it can be hard to live in a society when it seems like the whole system is against you. So what Paul is saying is, put on the armor of God and keep going forward, even though you are offending the system, by following the gospel and the teachings of Jesus. Things in our society are likely to get worse for the church in the future, and not better. We are likely to offend people by praying in public and simple things like that. Although we have the armor of God, it can still be very trying and hard for Christian peoples at times. So what must we do? We must turn to Jesus and build up our faith in him. If we turn back to John chapter 6, our gospel reading for today, it finishes like this. "Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" We can go forward through hardship and through adversity doing the right thing and following the gospel because we have faith. We have faith in Christ who has given us the words of eternal life. So we must try to have faith in these words and in this Jesus and move forward following these words. And if we do that, we can respond to the world in love and charity. Our gospel reading and John chapter 6 ends with Jesus talking about how Judas will betray him, how he will give him up to death. But Jesus says something very interesting before he talks about this. He says to his disciples who have just professed that he has the words of eternal life, "Did I not choose you, the 12? You see, my brothers and sisters, we can go forward in faith, doing the right thing, offending society, and following Jesus because he has chosen us. And since he has chosen us, he will be faithful to us and see us through the tough times when we as Christians are following the gospel truth and everyone else seems to be opposed to us. He is the faithful one and will be faithful to us, his followers. Jesus says to his disciples, Jesus says to us, does this offend you? The gospel and the teaching of Jesus certainly offends the world in many ways, and that's okay. And as followers of Christ, we will be the ones who go on doing the offending, and that's okay too. So what must we do? We must go forward in faith and trust in the protection of God. We must go forward because God has chosen us as he chose the 12. So my brothers and sisters, go on offending the world by serving all people with love and grace, no matter what society thinks of them. Go right on doing the work of God, serving others, because although the people of the earth may be getting offended, I can assure you that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And one day at the last, you will get told, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen.